At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
That's right. Welcome to it. Old School Hour 2, final hour on a Tuesday. Teammates timeout with Demo, with Ash, and with Coach Tom Osborne coming up here in just about an hour. 402-464-5685 if you want to be a part of this show or any show here on Ticket. Austin Orman, Jay Foreman with you. You have the $30 to Wings and Rings to give away. 4313 was in with the right answer. Only one quarterback last year had a game with 425 passing yards and a different game with 125 rushing yards. It was Brendan Sorsby of Cincinnati. He threw...
That's why I knew there was always a method to your madness.
Oh, always. I'm not just pulling stuff out of nowhere. Yeah, I try to give context clues.
Yeah. You definitely had me thinking. I was like, who the heck did something like that?
He threw for 426 in a three-point loss on the road at Texas Tech in game number 5. He rushed for 143 yards on 13 carries in a 34-17 loss on the road at Iowa State. 66 passing yards on 18 attempts, 143 rushing yards on 13 attempts for Sorsby that day. Kind of crazy. Jay, you alluded to it. I think it's the perfect spot to lead off our conversation here at the 4 o'clock hour. Black shirts handed out for Nebraska, officially announced on social media yesterday. 10 of them out of the 11 starters. Javen Wright, Sierra Wright, Marquise Buford Jr., Malcolm Hartzog Jr., Deshaun Singleton, Andrew Marshall, Elijah Judy, Desan McCullough, Cam Lenhart, and Marquise Watson Trent, the 10 players that earned the black shirts. The 11th will go to the winner of the defensive tackle spot right now. That's coming down to Keona Davis or Jalen George. Your reaction to seeing those black shirts handed out and the players that received them?
I like it. I mean, I'm always down for the guys to get their black shirts. I think, if you follow during the offseason, they've all kind of, made it, you know what I'm saying? I don't think there's any surprises. I mean, I think, Watson Trent, I call him the law firm. I need to probably verify with him if I can call him that. He's a linebacker. He'll give me a pass. Then you got Javen. I think, Javen's an example of, when he plays, he always, he's made some great plays. I think I remember the Wisconsin or Maryland game, he made the toe drag swag interception right on the sidelines a couple years. It was the last year. Yeah. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. And then wasn't he the one that made that diving punch out against
diving
someone?
Punch out. Yeah. And, he's had some good moments. Obviously, battled, some things, physically that, he it was never on the field. It was just kind of, he had to, take care of it and to have the, stick to it and then intestinal fortitude to come back and keep answering the bell. And he's a good kid and obviously, a leader in that sense. When you talk about staying power, continue to fight to get something that you really are invested in. That's it. And so you got Cam Lenhart, who I think you could tell he was refocused all the way from the beginning of the offseason. And then you have Elijah Judy, that's the weight of the world is on him. And essentially, this is his last year. Obviously, one of the top recruits in the nation when he came out. And then now this is a time that where he can lead a D-line room. And then the back end, I think you have 5 guys that played a lot of football. Majority of in the 3 have played a lot of football together. Hartzog, Buford, Singleton. And then throw in Wright as well, because he's been here over a year, even though he came in late. And I think the guy that kind of was a sneaky transfer portal get is Marshall.
Yeah.
Mature, competitive, tough kid. Everybody, I think, You know, I don't think there was any surprises. I think, you know, when you think about the guys that you know you want, you know, you're waiting to see, you know, whether Keona Davis and Riley Van Poffel get one. But I think it's, I know people are probably asking, you know, when or if they're going to get one. And then, you know, players want that because I'm sure, look, they all worked hard. They all put in their best effort, and probably that was probably one of their short-term goals to get that. And obviously, if they continue to play well, they'll get it because Matt Rhule and staff has shown if you earn it during the season, you will get a black shirt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can kind of feel they're not the only two. There's some other guys that feel like they're probably, you know, wanted one and probably feel a little bit let down, but then inspired. And then you got to, you know, go out there and play your best because it's the best part of it that you got to go play for your team. Because Shavers has one, right?
No, not a black shirt, but single digit. He and Van Poppel get voted single digits, but did not earn black shirts. They're not starters against Cincinnati.
I know exactly what that is. And this is different. And this is not to bring it about me, though. And
Well, too late. Here we go again. Well, Keith, 90s this, 90s that.
I asked Keith Mann the deal. Because it's still, I'm going to be honest with you. What, can we have a moment of truth?
Please, moment of honesty.
I hope Coach Osborne ain't listening right now. Because I got to see him, and then I got to apologize. But you know what? I won this starting spot after spring as the redshirt freshman. You know, never missed a workout. You know, kind of was like, all right, I'm going to continue work. I haven't done anything yet, but I did all I could do, right? Get my butt kicked all year, win a starting spot. And then, you know, you go through the summer, and I didn't know, I told this story like a week or so ago. They had the black shirt poster. Hey, I was not on there. I'm still pissed off about it. I ain't gonna lie. You know what? I gotta dial it back. I shouldn't be saying that. I'm still upset about it. Okay. To the point, I asked Keith Mann about it. hey, Austin.
Please tell me Keith said that was on purpose. Hey,
No. I said, Keith. I said, were you here in 95? He said, yeah. Oh, I was like, oh, great.
I said, it's on. Here we go.
I said, who made the call for me not to be on the black shirt poster? And he looked at me like, you still asking me about you asking me about this that many years ago?
30 years ago. Yeah, 30th anniversary
and
coming
I said,
up.
Yeah,
here.
And I said, yeah. And he said, let me check back on you. He's like, well, it seems like it was not a really good decision. You played, you know, 9 years in the league. So it gave me a little bit of cherry on top. But moral of the story is, it made me want to go out there. And I told myself I'm never going to not be on it again. Mm. So, you know, I think, you know, for Shavers and Van Poppel and them, they're going to play.
Shavers, of course, dealing with the hammy.
Yeah, if he's able to play, he's going to play. Mm-hmm. I know those guys. I don't know them well. You know, obviously I'm significantly older, but I know, like, you know, they're wired. They're going to go out and play well.
You brought up a couple guys that did earn them in Andrew Marshall and Marquise Watson-Trent. Feel like those are guys that just have kind of gotten glossed over throughout the offseason. We bring them up, right? Bach and I were talking about our under-the-radar Huskers, and Marshall and Watson-Trent were the first two guys on my list on defense. Mm-hmm. Watson-Trent just feels like he's been maybe overshadowed by the breakout people were expecting from Vincent Shavers, the Jacob Bauer story earning the scholarship over the spring. And then you look at Javon Wright, of course, being healthy, earning a starting linebacker spot. Jay, I think it's gone under-discussed that Nebraska added a conference defensive player of the year to the room. And maybe some of that's maybe a little jaded from the lack of impact from Stephon Thompson last year. But man, it really seems like when you get a guy that has three straight years of 114 tackles or more, six forced fumbles, couple interceptions, and again, conference defensive player of the year in a conference where they're athletes in the Sun Belt, I feel like Mr. Law Firm has gone under the radar.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, he's just, you know, quiet as kept, and there's a lot of stories, obviously, you know, day in and day out coming out of Nebraska, and so, you know, just like a typical linebacker, you just show up and do your job, and obviously he's done it to the point to where he's awarded a black shirt, you know, from his teammates or however their voting process is, and the coaches have, I'm sure, a say in it as well. So the day in and day out, you know, he's awarded, you know, a black shirt, but, you know, you get a guy that has been very productive at the college level. Obviously there's going to be adjustment for him, but obviously he's adjusted to the point that where they feel comfortable with him. I'm sure maybe potentially being their signal caller, because he has the most experience doing it. And the leadership that he provides is obviously there. And obviously he had, you know, the playmaking ability to be, you know, a potential get for Nebraska in the portal.
Same thing for Marshall. Maybe it's the small school effect, but I feel like when we talked about Andrew Marshall when he first committed to Nebraska out of Idaho, it was, hey, imagine what he can bring as a returner. Oh, he was a returner at Idaho, punt return, kick return. That's what Andrew Marshall is going to be. Here he is, day one starter against Cincy, black shirt and everything. That tells me maybe we didn't take him seriously enough on the outside as a corner.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things that everybody tries to, you know, get the answers to the test and project where the guys are going to be. And he was a productive corner, you know, before he, you know, got all the press for, you know, being a punt returner. And people don't realize, like, at those schools, like Idaho and those type of schools, you have to have your best one. He obviously was one of their best athletes. Mm-hmm. You have to get the ball in his hands as many times as possible. He's not an offensive player. And so those are the splash plays, but I think also he came in and proved himself with the ability to not only cover, but then also probably play the run, but then also his you know, his work ethic.
Ted says 10 total tackles against Nebraska when he played for Georgia Southern and they came in and beat Nebraska. I think this guy's very underrated. 2563 says nobody has better stories than Foreman. Love it. Well, we should do is to tell Jake Sorensen or Nick Sainert, hey,
yeah,
Hall of Fame story hour.
Yeah, Nick.
Hall of Fame story segment, whatever you want to call it. We can come up with a catchy name. It needs to be a thing. The people love the Foreman stories. The Foreman stories need a sponsor. That simple.
That is true. I just didn't like the story. I ain't like the story, man. Hey, man, my little feelings were hurt, man. I swear, I called my dad. I was hot. He was just laughing at me.
He just laughed? That's it?
Well, and that's not what he did. He was like, he was like, what? He's like, how? And then he just was like, then he, you know, my dad always tried to use it as
motivation. Fuel, yeah. Fire,
yeah,
what have you. Matt Rhule spoke earlier today. Jay had a lot of interesting stuff to say. We'll have some NFL news I think we can get to in the next segment. But Matt Rhule was asked, of course, about, you know, hey, what does it look like for you guys when you go down to Kansas City? What's that going to be? Here is from Matt Rhule, the official plan for Nebraska football as they get ready to go down to Arrowhead tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to have the guys come in, have breakfast tomorrow. We'll practice tonight. Come in, have breakfast tomorrow. We'll meet and walk from 10 to noon, and we'll give them like 12 to 1 to get themselves settled, eat lunch. We'll get on the buses at 1. We're going to go right from here to Arrowhead. This will take about 3 hours. At the Arrowhead at 4:15, however that works out. We'll do a light walk through. This group of guys has really enjoyed seeing the visiting stadiums. So we'll, I mean, very light walk through. I mean, usually we try to see who can hit the goalpost with a football, you know, guys kind of mess around, just somewhere to get familiar with the scenario. Then we'll go to the hotel. We'll go see a team movie. They picked Superman, and then we'll have snack and then get into our game day.
There's the game day plan for Nebraska. Matt Rhule said, you know, managing the waiting is the hardest part. And a big piece of that, Jay, is playing a power opponent to start the year. Matt Rhule was asked about what Nebraska has learned from Matt Rhule's first game, opening with Minnesota on the road in 2023. Here's about a 2-minute answer from Matt Rhule.
Oh, that's a great question. I like playing power four, maybe. I like playing a power four team to start. I think it makes your camp much more intentional. It gets everyone's attention early. You know, I felt like that Minnesota game, I felt like we should have won it. You know, we had it won. That being said, you know, we weren't as far along, and I think I commented many times, I didn't have us as ready for the crowd noise and all the things that, you know, the gold out at Minnesota would have. I sometimes say things like that, and I could probably put a caveat there, but it sounds weak. Like, you know, we were working on a lot of other things. We weren't probably ready for all that. You know, we were just trying to learn, you know, learn some basic things at the time. But I feel like I have gotten to my part. I've gotten the team ready in terms of situationally. We should be prepared for everything. And I think to their part, they are focused and paid a lot of attention to detail. Like, we walked in this morning, Wish and I walked in this morning, and Isaiah Moses, you know, sitting in the recovery tubs, and now he's just sitting there. He's got his game book out. Like, a lot of times you see guys looking at their phone or iPad. Like, he's got his game book out, and he's like taking notes. I was like, all right, that's what our freshmen look like. You know, that means that every room that the seniors are doing a good job, or in that case, in that room, Emmett. So, yeah, so I feel confident that that will play. And at the same time, also knowing a first game, you don't know what to expect. Like Cincinnati could come out and it could be all four down. It could be all cover zero. It could be all, you know, they could come out and it could be, they could have gone to high tempo. They could have, you know, you don't know. So, you have to have smart coaches and coordinators and players who can adjust on the fly. And I think we're prepared for that.
Long answer from Matt Rhule. Jay, your takeaways from that as Matt Rhule reflects on opening with Cincinnati like you opened with Minnesota a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, this experience, you know, I think, you know, I always say Nebraska when, you know, it's the biggest and the best job that you'll ever get. Now, there's, you can't get much. Sure, it's all subjective, but you're not going to get much bigger than this, mm-hmm. right? And you're playing in the Big Ten, the new Big Ten, on the road, essentially. I call it the Minnesota Open, and that's where, because they always play at 30, that's their deal, and that's a part of how they built their program, on the road, and you're trying to just put your, you know, get guys to walk and chew gum. And so the experience in year three, going on the, well, not on the road, but you're not playing at home. And now the advantage is in Nebraska's favor as far as the amount of people in the crowd from Nebraska that's going to be there. We're favored. You know, we probably have, assume on paper, the more talented team. And so it's drastically different, but you still don't forget the lessons that you probably maybe have, you know, learned in the things that you could probably, I call it trimming the fat for some of the younger players. It is an extremely young team, 91 guys that are sophomores or freshmen. So there is a lot of anxiety in that locker room and that football team. They don't have their experiences like, you know, playing all these games and playing big time games. And, you know, by the time I was like the second in 96, it was kind of like we're here to dominate. And, mm-hmm. you know, taking them down there tomorrow and so they can kind of see the stadium, I think is good. That can kind of relieve some anxiety. I mean, I can remember flying down to Stillwater. We were playing on Thursday night, actually. And it was super hot, and me and Octavius McFarland, you know, he had played the year before, so he kind of knew what I was going through. I was able to lean on him, even though we came in the same. I was extreme. I don't know, like, I had no problem telling you. I was like, nervous. I mean, but to go there, and we had our little walkthrough thing, really kind of trimmed the fat for me and made it less, you know, stressful. You know, so doing that and then going into a team movie and then getting into their game day prep is probably, you know, you want to stay on routine. And then, you know, as far as what Cincinnati's going to do, you know, you got to have an idea. You know, you can kind of look and look when they're in warmups, but at the end of the day, you just got to play your principles and you got to go out there and play football. Don't play passive, go play. You ain't got nothing. Ain't nothing to be like apprehensive about.
Matt Rhule talked about that a little bit at his presser today too. I forget which cut it's in, but it was something to the effect of he made use of the word anxiousness instead of anxiety. In his mind, there's a difference where anxiety is worry, it's fear, yeah. It's being timid. He says, you know, if you're anxious about the game, if you're ready for it to get here, it shouldn't make you timid when the time comes. It should make you excited, and you should be playing harder, playing faster, 110% effort, all that good stuff he normally talks about. Did you see that, you know, in your teams, Jay, where everyone maybe had their own level of nerves before a game, but how then did it get channeled to the positive instead of to the negative, the passive, the timid?
I think like it, I look at it like this, you know, just from talking to, you know, guys that coach in basketball, is like, there's nothing wrong with being nervous or being anxious. That's because you care. Mm-hmm. I'm nervous before every game. Mm-hmm. I like being anxious because I'm ready to fight. Like, I'm ready to go, you know, let's get it on, you know, and, you know, and so I like that. Anxiety can be where you try to play too perfect. I've done that too. And I've been in the season and coming to realization that I was doing it and then looking at myself and you kind of look like a step slow or you just kind of look like not yourself. And then you kind of have that reality check and then everybody's like, hey, you look like a totally different player. Then they think like, oh, they're calling plays or nothing, that you maybe just get over that hump. And so there's a level of emotions that you're thinking, but look, you got to think these guys are hopefully playing this game 10 million times over in their head. Mm-hmm. And everybody has something to prove. There's a lot of hype around Nebraska. There's been a lot of talk. Now you got to go back it up. And it's not just one game. It's 12 games. It's a 12-week single chapter book that you want to have awesome reviews at the end of this book and then be able to extend it into the foreshadowing, which would be the bowl game. So there's a lot that goes into it. I'm sure, you know, look, you can also, you just want to have the confidence in your team to go out there and play. I believe in you guys. We're going to call the plays. You go execute them. Everything will be okay. That's not being, I don't know, cocky or arrogant. That's just saying, you know what? We've worked hard. We feel prepared. We feel good as a staff. We feel good as a group. Now let's go out there and play.
Your work will show when you get out there, right? You can check yourself into thinking you've done the work, but you can also probably go the other way and worry too much that you haven't done enough work and that's not going to be good enough. And sure, there's a very fine line between striving for perfection. Can I pick up one more tendency on film versus paralysis by analysis, playing too slow?
Yeah, I think sometimes, you know, you can overthink it, but I think, you know, look, Cincinnati's going to bite back too. This is a big game for them. You got to think, if I'm Coach Satterfield, I'm pumping in their brain like, man, nobody thinks you can win. I'm going to have them like some like deranged lunatics. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just going to have it on a loop. Do you think we're going to go all the way down there and lose? This is why we're not going to lose. Both staffs and coaches are saying it.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Same thing. The players are thinking the same thing. Cincinnati is not coming down here or to Kansas City thinking like, hey, you know, we didn't had 30 days of practice. Let's get on a plane and go down there and get boat race.
Nah.
So you got to think you're going to get their best shot. They probably are trying to come out with some new wrinkles, which everybody does, but it just happens to be the first game, and so nobody knows. But really, when you get past that, the first 3 series, you're going to see something. Mm-hmm. After that, we got to play football. Mm. And you can't get over it, you know. So look at my man right here.
Style.
Yeah, there he is. Look, dude, is that tinted?
It's pretty hard to see it. Oh. I mean,
well, that's great.
They can see it.
Yeah, but, especially when you have sunglasses on.
Right.
But so I think that, you know, as long as they get short, I mean, they just got to do what they got
to
do.
Last thing for this segment from Big Golf Guy. I'm surprised they're taking a bus to KC. Jay, what was the longest bus ride you took from Nebraska for a game?
I know we drove to Kansas State. I know we drove
that's not bad.
To Iowa State. So what is that? 3 hours, give or take?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not surprised they're busing. I think it makes perfect sense. Rather than hopping on a plane to KCI, just have to get on a bus there.
It just kind of depends. And you know what? It's a night game. Now, if it was a regular 11 or 2:30 game, then they would probably need to fly. Now, I think also
but they're also going tomorrow.
Right. But this is part of it. Hey, we're going to, you know, it's kind of fellowship. It's very easy. You could go get to the airport, just look at your phone for 30 minutes, get on the bus when you get to Kansas City.
Look at your phone for another 30 minutes.
Another 30 minutes. You're in the hotel room, you know. So, and plus, I think they're on a pretty good, they got nice little setups on the bus. So they're not riding.
Are you saying nicer than your setup on the bus?
Our buses were nice for the time, but I'm sure that, but they're not riding school buses, you know, like in high school where you got right. Your pads right there.
And oh, heck all, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah,
you know, and you know, you had to wash your own pants, and some of them, you know, some kids you didn't understand that you need to, you know, put a little bleach in there, you know, in the pants. So I think they'll be all right. I think they'll be well prepared, and you know, I think the one of the things that's you know, has to ring true is at this point there's 12 games. Okay, the most important one is in 2 days. You cannot care when, where, and how this game is going to be played. Any game. Mm-hmm. This is a no excuses. I don't care if the game's at 11.
A.M. or P.M.
I don't care if it's at midnight. When it's time to kick off, you know exactly what we have to do, and you got to go out there and do it. You take that mentality. You look forward to the fight, and you just wondering, you know, when the game's going to get over because you already know the outcome.
Mm-hmm. Some guys didn't know the outcome of NFL cut day.
Hey, man, hey,
That's that perfect reaction. Hey, that's why it's the perfect segment. See, coming up next at 4:30.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back in. It is old school, brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Our 4:30 segments are brought to you by Heartland of Nebraska Windows. They're based out of Hallam, Nebraska, and they offer free estimates, full window replacements, all vinyl triple pane windows, and a lifetime warranty on everything while keeping their prices affordable. They're locally and family owned with their own team of installers, not contracting out, their own team of installers. Give them a call today for more info at 402-430-3852. Or visit them online at heartlandofnebraskawindows.com. Jay, I feel like I should have probably offered you a tomahawk steak or something from the Mercado, given the way I dropped the NFL cut day news on you to end our last segment. You can be good. You can make it through the segment over there. I'm not cutting you mid-segment if that's what you're worried about.
No, I'm going to be all right. I'm going to be all right, man.
Talk about cut day. Like, experiencing it comes, it goes, you're on the roster, you're off the roster. Yeah, what's cut day like?
I was able to skate it, be okay for seven straight. Mm. And so I got hurt, and then I signed with the Raiders, and and the Raiders are always tricky.
You don't say.
They're always tricky. This is when Al Davis was still alive. So my agent did a good job of essentially hedging our bet, right? And so I got some, got some show up money or whatever. And so I was coming off, I was rehabbing and then not really practicing or whatever. And then it came down to the last game and I kind of knew what it was. I wanted to make the team. I mean, let's not be stupid about this. And I don't even know if the Raiders, I remember Ricky Dudley was out there and he was a former first round pick and he had played for the Raiders. And so I kind of talked to him a few times and he was just like, dude, this is the craziest organization ever. He's like, you ain't got to worry about making a team. I already kind of know, I've already seen this before. Right. And he was towards the end of his career, you know, and he could still run and he was still viable. They just weren't giving him a chance. So I don't even know, like, at that point, I think they called my agent. You know what I'm saying? Because I played a good preseason game. They didn't call my agent. So I went back home, obviously. So there wasn't any conversation there. And then I ended up with the Giants and then kind of just was a hired mercenary after that.
Let's talk about those first 7 years, though. You make it, you're safe. Were there ever any nerves that you weren't going to make it? Were there close calls that you know of?
Oh, well, my first year, you fifth round draft choice, they had two legitimate starters at inside linebacker. Marlo Perry essentially was a starter. He was a third down linebacker and a great special teams player. And I think they had another inside linebacker that Bruce DeHaven really liked. I think his name was Joe Simmons or something like that. Could run and was a core special teams guy and had played a couple years before there. Mm-hmm. And here I am. And they were kind of set at outside linebacker as well. So they generally kept eight. I had to make them keep nine. And it came down to, one of my best friends, he's unfortunately passed away in a freak accident, Keon Carpenter. He was a free agent. I'm from Frederick. He's from Baltimore. I've been knowing him my whole life. We kind of made a play against the Bengals. I think I tackled him. Keon ripped it out or vice versa. That was our, you got to make it on special teams. So it's a close call whether, for me, I felt like, and Keon, because I think Keon was on the practice squad. They already told him he was going to be on the practice squad. And Buffalo like to keep their guys on the practice squad. And they never told me anything. So I was like, they might be trying to get rid of him, brother. Mm-hmm. I ended up making it. And then, obviously progress from there. And I don't think I ever was going to get cut my fourth year with Greg. But I needed to start. And so, I always talk about it. Miles Alders came up to me and he was like, before we played Pittsburgh, he's like, you better have a good game tonight. You know what I'm saying? As I'm rolling in the, and I played fine in the preseason, but I was a starter, so I never got any action. So we played Philly, and I think I played four plays because you play a quarter. Then we played somebody else, and we we're driving the ball so much offensively. We didn't get a lot, it was like second halftime, starters are out. So I never really got a chance to get busy. And some of the back, you get some guys that are playing against Willie Lumps. They're like, oh, right. And the next thing you know, and I know that there was a connection with the guy that was behind me. And then they had drafted Corey Moore.
Mm-hmm.
He was definitely a better pass rusher than me. Then I'll say he was one of the best pass rushers at that time in Virginia Tech's history. And then he came up to me. He was like, hey, I'll never forget it, man. I wanted to punch him in his face. He was like, you better do something tonight. I was like, say less, because I've been waiting to get busy.
Yeah.
And it all worked itself out. But I had the anxiety because I was going into a potential contract year. I had played well up until then. We got a new regime and they weren't paying anybody. Antoine Winfield could have been redone. Myself, Peerless Price, nobody. And so I think, that's where that my anxiety came from. I knew I had done well enough that I would get another chance. If it didn't work out there, I would get another chance immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing led to another. And then, after that. So, but I will tell you one thing about cut day. This is where there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. And you see guys, the Buffalo Bills were always very respectful for guys. And they were well up front, actually, before that last preseason game with some of the guys, like mm-hmm. I said, with Keon. I went to Houston, man, and I would never forget this. And in me, my man Gary Walker, Andre, and we went up there to Mr. McNair after this. And what they used to do is you play that last preseason game generally on a Friday. They bring you back Sunday, practice you Monday. Tuesday's a mandatory day off. And they they'd practice this on Monday. So they'd practice you, they'd meet, practice you. And then you still have the roster. Mm-hmm. Like they make the guys that for sure cut, but they still got some guys lingering around. Well, then you got a team meeting afterwards. Well, while the team meeting is going on, they're bringing in dudes that got cut for tryouts. Well, they were clipping guys off while we were in the team meeting, pulling them out of there.
Yeah.
Pulling them out of there. And we went up to, the GM at the time and said, man, you can't do that. And they did. Dom changed it. Dom mm-hmm. was not aware of it. He hadn't gotten into the meeting yet. So I've seen things like that. It's not a good day.
What's it like being in the facility when you've made the team and half the practice is just gone?
Hey, one thing my agent told me, don't make friends.
Tough advice, but
no, because he's like, in your rookie class, we had six or seven. There's going to be one of them going to be gone. That was true. You get too emotionally attached with guys that can kind of get it in the way of you playing. And that's the same way that they were probably thinking about if it was me. Now, Sean Bryce is one of my best friends and we played together. Keith Newman is still a great friend. Peerless and Antoine are still, great friends and stuff like that. And I was fortunate, Sheldon Jackson was a teammate from college we played. So I was very fortunate in that sense. But I also think that you could be, you could be like roommates on the road, and then, so you're spending time together, because the games are generally at night, you get there during the day and the night before you play that following night, spend a lot of time, getting to know somebody. And then next thing you know, they're gone just like that.
I was going to say the flip side of that is congratulations to John Bullock, to Thomas Fedoni. We mentioned them yesterday making rosters, but without speaking for you, I would guess some of your advice is you made this roster, but there's a reason NFL can also stand for not for long.
No, it's not for long. You're week to week, especially when you're a rookie, because they can kind of turn you over a lot. You're not a vested veteran where when you're on the roster as of Wednesday, then you're good for the rest of the season. So, it's one thing to make it, which is great. It's for both of them, it's a huge feat. Fedoni battles some injury history. And, at times, wasn't able to be as productive as he liked. He was able to go and take a spot from Dulich, who was actually a decent tight end.
Mm-hmm.
But Fedoni made some plays and outplayed him, and he's cheaper, right?
Yeah.
Now, Dulich will get picked up, right? And that's fine. He might find a better opportunity for him. And then with Bullock, he didn't get drafted. He came and he earned his spot. But, I kind of felt almost a little bit better for him about him making it, because of the versatility, the toughness, mm-hmm. the athletic ability, and the speed, and then also the need.
Sure.
A backup linebacker that mm-hmm. can play special teams, that can play all three stack linebacker positions, can play on third down, a tough kid, accountable. It you know, and so he just needed a legit opportunity, and he made his way onto the team.
On that front, in terms of the Colts, right, I was looking at that. I mean, they still had like 90 dudes in camp mm-hmm. going into today. Khalil Herbert, offseason signing, kind of thought he would have been RB3 on that roster. He's gone. Chris Lehmans has started some games for them at corner. He's gone. Other names, Wesley French. He had French and Fries. Of course, yeah. Will Fries signed yep. with Minnesota alongside yep. Ryan Kelly. Man, I wish Ryan Kelly nothing but the best. He was kind of the rock alongside Quentin Nelson after the Costanzo
yeah.
retirement, right? We talk about the Colts quarterback situation. I do kind of wonder, Jay, what an Anthony Costanzo could have done for a guy like Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, for him. And didn't they have Fisher too?
Well, he was at the end of his career, yeah. just kind of hanging on, but he was yeah, there.
But he had yeah. started to play well for the Colts, and mm-hmm. or not the well, he played well for the Colts, and yeah. he was playing well for the Chiefs. And Costanzo's retirement was out of nowhere. He was actually mm-hmm. starting to, I felt like, to catch his stride. Now I know he has some injury histories, but yeah, yeah. that offensive line is what it. You know, that's it. Tyreek Glenn for Peyton Manning. Yeah. I mean, those mm-hmm. are freaking frack. Jeff Saturday. All those guys, that's how you know, build that continuity. And I know you saw that Philip Rivers is going into the Hall of Fame for the Chargers. Mm-hmm. You know, all those linemen, they when they talked about how many years they played with Philip Rivers, all of them were 6+ years.
Yeah.
That's the continuity, and that's how you get production. So, you know, cut day is never fun. You feel for those guys, but also think that, you know, you deal with it, but then you also continue to work. You got to work while you wait, because if you got good tape, if you put good tape on in practice now, mm-hmm. and then in the preseason game, you'll get other opportunities, and you got to be in shape and you got to be ready. And then whatever you could have learned from the prior stop, take it with you, get better at it. And then you could turn that into, you know, a long career. I mean, you think about James Harrison.
Sure.
He was cut by the Ravens, and he goes to Pittsburgh. I don't know if he's going to make the NFL Hall of Fame, but he'll be in the Pittsburgh Steelers Hall of Fame.
Oh, like that.
Right.
Real quick.
And he was cut by mm-hmm. the Baltimore Ravens.
One of the few bad decisions Baltimore's made, but not like they didn't have a
Well, they had a guy, they had guys, position. But I'm just saying, you yeah. know, it could be a numbers thing.
Yeah.
And for me, in Buffalo, it would have been a numbers thing. Marlo Perry was a great linebacker, straight up. You know, and Sam Cowher was great. You know, he taught me a lot. John Hollisek taught me a lot. They're two young guys, and I just had to, you know, kind of like John Bogle, make my way onto the roster.
Good stuff on NFL Cut Day. We'll be back, wrap up old school after this. Get you set up for teammates timeout. Coach Tom Osborne in the building at 5.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Oh, we're wrapping up old school. Austin Norman, Jay Foreman with you. Final segment brought to you by Love Volleyball Nebraska. They just rebranded as Love Volleyball Nebraska. To renew your season tickets or secure them for the first time, visit LOVB.com to make sure you get your seats to watch Olympians, national team players, and former Huskers all take the court for Love Volleyball Nebraska. Speaking of love, Jay, it's in the air. Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, they're engaged, and all the good news has passed the city of Cincinnati. Now it's nightmares time on Thursday.
Yeah, man. Yeah, well, congrats to him. He had no other choice.
He did not have any other choice.
You threw a half court, a three quarter court, no look three pointer swish to win the NBA championship on how you got her attention, and you 2 years in, you're better. What else you going to do?
What else?
You ain't upgrading. Congratulations, Travis. You all kicked your coverage officially.
We'll see when the ceremony is. Here's the real question, though, Jay. Can the Chiefs offense be good enough that we talk about them for football again?
Yeah, they can. If everybody's healthy, they can. You got Patrick Mahomes, and you got I think Travis Kelce is more motivated. I think obviously there's a lot of obligations that go in, I'm assuming, to a relationship like that. And obviously he's in a movie and other stuff, but, you know, obviously he came back for a reason. You know, he's got a lot of other, I think he's probably feels, you know, kind of got it all in the, he's probably used to her stardom. because she's iconic. I don't, you know, no matter what you think about her, she's iconic. He's a star, kind of navigating that. Now they're obviously official and so forth and so on. So, yeah, I think they can, especially if he's still a problem. I mean, he had a down year and had like 900 yards. Mm-hmm. He's still a problem.
You think Brian Kelly gets a wedding invite?
Who are you talking about? The LSU coach?
Talking about the LSU coach.
What did he do?
He's former Cincinnati head coach, Jay.
Oh, he ain't getting, no. The way he left Cincinnati, he ain't doing it.
But it doesn't matter who left Cincinnati.
No, was
it matters how he left Travis
it's
Kelce. The other.
It's Tuberville how he left.
Yeah, yeah, Tuberville. Yeah.
Yeah, he might. More importantly, though.
Butch Jones? I'm just saying. It's a possibility.
More importantly is this. I'm sure they're going to have a compound. Or compounds of places that they, I'm sure Travis has a nice house. And I'm sure if they have a central place, there's going to be a compound. But it's heavily guarded. Where is he going to walk when he's mad because he forgot that she's mad at him because he forgot to take out the garbage? Who's he going to talk to?
Ooh, call, you can't vent on the podcast.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
I guess he could call his brother.
Maybe
you call my homies.
Just make sure Kylie's not listening.
But do you think
that's getting shared?
You think he's gonna talk to one of the security guards?
Ooh, probably.
I forgot to take on. You think he do his dishes? You better have them dishes doing. Hey, when I get back from
make sure
Europe on this tour, you better make sure that room is vacuumed. Remember when I sent you that email? Did you get my?
If Brian Kelly gets an invite, what accent does he use from Tommy?
Hey, you know what he's going to do? He's going to start trying to sing one of her songs.
Oh, boy. Yeah?
Yeah, man. Brian Kelly, boy, listen. Here's I know Nebraska going to get that party started. He better hope Dabo don't pull a wool over his eyes come Saturday night.
Cash bar at the wedding?
It better. No, what? It better be.
Full service.
Yeah.
Imagine cash bar, though. Are you doing dollar dance?
Yeah. No comment. Travis Kelce, it better be open bar. I'm going to tell you, that wedding is going to be so high priced and so like high society, you might not even want to eat. It's like when you used to go to my like grandma's and aunt's house and they have plastic on the couch.
True.
Yeah, you don't make no mess.
3 hours of old school tomorrow, 3 to 6. Getting you set up for Nebraska and Cincinnati. For Jay, I'm Austin. We got teammates coming up next year on The Ticket.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.